Your speech and your lifestyle wants to guide you through life. And then his desire is for you to live him out through your expression of life, through your manner of life, through your lifestyle. And that includes your actions, your words, your attitudes, how you respond to others, and in just all matters of life throughout the day, whether it's at work or at home, with your children, with co-workers, with your boss, whoever it might be. And then we kind of wrapped up last week that it's a perfect blending of God's perfection and who God created us to be, including our talents, our character traits, and personalities. You know, and each of us are unique. You know, it's that idea of, you know, every snowflake, and I know we like hardly ever see them here. Did anybody see snow yesterday? All right, three of you. I know my other son-in-law texted me and said, it's snowing at our apartment. And I'm looking out the window going, oh, I got nothing. We don't ever get anything. But, you know, the idea that every snowflake, I think I was in first grade and I grew up in New Jersey, and I remember it snowed one day and our teacher gave all of us a piece of black construction paper, and, you know, and we all went outside. Yes, sir.
Right in Jersey.
The little town of Butler was the town I grew up in.
Where near
Trenton is that? North and west. Northwest of Trenton. Up near Parsippany, Hackensack, Bloomingdale, Patterson. We're west of Patterson. Yeah. So, but you know, we all got a piece of black construction paper, went outside, and we caught snowflakes on it. And then we look, you know, she had us look at all of them and just see how each one was different and unique. And that was, well, anyway. So, I was going to say, that was a public school, but she was still teaching us how we were all unique individuals and we were all different. But the idea is God created us that way. And we have to accept who we are, who we were created. Now, we can work on our weaknesses, and we can endeavor to build our weakness and do better in those areas. We can't just say, well, you know, I stink at this, so I'm just never going to try. No, we work at that, and then we have strengths that we utilize and realize, okay, this is a strength, and I need to use this for the honor and glory of God as well. But God has blended us together. You know, and one of the things we're discussing in our Wednesday night marriage class is how God brings a husband and wife together to hopefully complete each other and to help each other. You know, and you are to be, the wife's to be that helpmeet, as was said in Genesis, but the husband too is to love his wife as Christ loves the church. You know, to love her, you know, to the same degree that he loves himself, which means if we're doing that, then that love is going to reach beyond, is going to reach into her life, striving to do for her what she needs done. And then her desire then should be to be that help meet and help out as well. And so the two together are growing, hopefully closer to God and then closer to each other. So God's using all of that to bring things together. Romans 8:29. I have it on the screen just for time's sake. We won't turn there necessarily right now. But it says, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers, or among the brethren. Kind of think about that for a minute, that for whom God foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. So based on what we just talked about here, that we are a perfect blending of God's perfection, who God created us to be, including all these different things. All right, and then Paul mentions that God has predestined us to be conformed to the image of his son. Why am I going to this verse? What does this verse have to teach us from Romans? All right, put it back there for you. Thinking about the Holy Spirit, who God made us. And then he says we're to be conformed to the image of his son. Yep.
It's the Holy Spirit that does the work.
All right. It's the Holy Spirit that's doing that work in us to conform us to the image of Christ. Good. Good, James. You know, it's, you know, as we read the Word of God, as we hear the Word of God taught and preached, and, you know, as we are studying it, you know, who did Christ tell the disciples? We just finished the Gospel of John. So who did Christ tell the disciples were going to come and teach them all things? The Holy Spirit. So it's the Holy Spirit that is teaching us and guiding us and is helping us to be conformed to the image of Christ. So God, it's God's plan for those that have put their faith and trust in Him to become like Christ. That's part of our sanctification process, where we are being set apart and we are becoming more holy and growing in our holiness. But the Holy Spirit is the one that has been given to us to aid us or to help us in that process. All right, so we, as we look at Scripture, one of the things that we see, and which is so unique, and it's hard, it was hard for me to kind of understand and grasp totally. I mean, I get the concept, but then to really put it into practice. But the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit exist in perfect harmony. All right, now really think about that, because is there a structure within the Trinity? All right, yes. All right, so again, we go back to the Gospel of John. What was it that Jesus said over and over and over and over and over again throughout the Gospel of John? Right, he says over and over again, I came to do the will of my Father, and the will of my Father I will do. So he has subordinated himself to the will of the Father. But then we see in Philippians that Christ humbled himself. And then what's the Father going to do for Christ? He's going to exalt him and give him all kingdoms, give him all authority, all rule. So now the Father has now subordinated himself to the Son and says, now I'm going to put you in charge and you have control of everything. And then we have the Holy Spirit in here as well, just all working in perfect harmony. And we see that. And again, that's hard. It's hard for me to really grasp that, because, you know, we think in terms of, you know, we have a command sergeant major and then we have different ranks under him. Well, they're not all equal. And the command sergeant major isn't really subordinating himself to the, you know, somebody else. You know, he's in charge. You know, he's the guy or the general or whoever. And so to understand how that each of them have a distinct purpose within the Trinity, and yet they're equal, and yet they are subordinating themselves to one another, and yet they have this equal authority, equal power within each. Again, for me, it's very difficult to grasp that. And to under, you know, I say it, but then to actually think of any human example is very difficult for that. Yep. All right. Good.
And I didn't reveal it earlier, but I'm sitting in my office at work again, and I'm thinking about my business, and the Holy Spirit tells me that the sowing. I don't know if you understand about the mechanism of a sowing. You have a machine, which is God. You have a needle you have to use, which is Jesus. Okay, needle is inserted into God. God inserts that needle, but it doesn't work. It doesn't work without the hook. The hook is the Holy Spirit. As the needle comes down and it starts to curl, it brings the thread down and makes a loop. You might have turned a knot down, an open loop, where the hook comes behind and grabs it. It's the Holy Spirit in us who's making that whole process work. So I'm sitting there, I'm just amazed. Because I know about the technology of the sewing equipment. I know how it was in it. And I know about that. But I never put that God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit. It's all true.
Right. Right, yes. And yet, yes. And I would say, you know, trying to explain the Trinity, you know, any human illustration we give falls short of what it really is. because we can't just, we can't truly explain it in human terms. But that's a good illustration. You know, kind of the same in a marriage. You know, we're to do what? What does the Ephesians say? Submit one to another, right? You know, it says submit one to another, and then it immediately says, wives, you know, honor your husbands. You know, husbands, love your wives. So in a sense, you know, and then in Genesis, it says the husband is to, you know, have rule over his wife. The wife is to be the helpmeet. And yet we see, okay, but we're supposed to submit to each other, yet the husband's to be in rule, the wife's in, and to love, the wife's to submit. But still, you know, as you go through that, it's like, wow, like, you know, which is it? You know, and you say, it's all of it. You know, it makes it real, you know, very complicated in that. And yet, that's how we are to live according to Scripture and to do that. And so this is that example that's set before us, and it's a high bar that we are to strive to live up to. And so in order to grow, we must understand that there's no such thing as an average or a part-time Christian. I was listening. I scroll through Facebook when I have a few minutes here or there, and I was scrolling through, and there a comedian popped up, and he was a Christian comedian, and he was talking about, you know, it kind of caught my attention because it said, you know, part-time Christians was kind of the heading. So I started listening to him. And he's like, yeah, he said, at my church, you know, he said, I was making phone calls to some of the members. And, you know, he said, I called one of the ladies in the church and she answered the phone. And, you know, she, you know, basically said, you know, who the blank is this? How'd you get my blank and blank and number? And he goes, this is Brother John at, you know, the church. And she went, oh, God bless you. And, you know, then all of a sudden, you know, completely changed. You know, and he was going on about, you know, how, You know, when she answers the phone, she doesn't sound like a Christian. But once she finds out who it is, now all of a sudden, you know, she changes her tune, you know, and everything's so different. And you know, he made light of that. But we need to understand, how often do we live our lives like that? You know, when somebody cuts us off, you know, we freak out and, you know, we have words and, you know, just completely ruins that moment for us. But then, you know, the old adage, I mean, if you've been in church for many years, you know, trying to get ready for church in the morning with children, you know, and everybody's yelling at each other, screaming, and, you know, you're the whole way to church, you know, you're just, you know, husband and wife are yelling because one was late and one wasn't. And, you know, then you pull in the parking lot and you open the doors and you put the smile on, you all come walking in like nothing ever happened. All right, well, that's not the way we're supposed to live. You know, that's that average. That's that being a part-time Christian. You know, that's just putting on a show for when you want to put on a show. And that's not what the Holy Spirit, that's not what God wants for us. You know, we're either living a vibrant Christian, Spirit-filled life, or we aren't. Jesus is either our Lord, which is our master. We're either his slave, his servant, and we're living as such, or he isn't. You know, we're either in forward motion or we're going backwards. You know, too often, you know, we hear, well, you know, I just kind of plateaued. Well, you don't really plateau in the Christian walk. You're either moving forward or you're sliding backwards. You know, it's an uphill journey, and you don't just stop somewhere along the way. You know, we either live in the fullness of the Holy Spirit or we don't. Now, there might be times within the day that you are living in the fullness of the Holy Spirit, and there are times that you're not. But again, it's one or the other. You're either living in the fullness or you're not. Next week, we're going to talk about we need the Holy Spirit, Isaiah 61, 1 through 3. Actually, 2 weeks. Chris is going to teach next week. I'm going to be out of town next Sunday. We go to Colorado once a year to ski. And so I'll be out there next Sunday. But Chris is going to fill in and teach on the Holy Spirit. And so 2 weeks from today, Isaiah 61, 1 through 3. And we will talk about how we need the Holy Spirit in our lives. So let's close in prayer this morning. Father, thank you for the time we've had together this morning and to just share about the Holy Spirit and how important it is to utilize him and for him to reign and rule in our lives in conjunction with your Son as the Savior, as the Master, as you, as the Father, controlling all things, you're sovereign, You have planned from the beginning all of this. And so help us to accept what you have and to strive to allow the Holy Spirit to conform us to the image of your Son and to strive to be more like him in all that we do each and every day. And we'll thank you in your name. Amen.